this evening. Take care of singing and preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ready? Adam, shut those doors, please.
All right, good evening. All right, well, the children are awake. That's a blessing. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church tonight for the midweek service. If you can, let's stand. We're going to sing All Hail the Power in Jesus' name. Name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. That with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Good to see you this evening. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you again this evening for your blessing on the singing. I ask for your power during the preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd bless everyone that's here and help those still getting here to get here safely. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Always a privilege to have visitors. If you're here for the first time in a long time, and you live in Mexico or any place like that, yeah. Good to have you tonight. I didn't see anyone else. It is good to see Patty. If you're wondering whether Nick is here, he is not. She came up for a few days, be leaving Friday, so pray for her. You're flying? So flying back on Friday, so keep her in prayer. Don't forget to pray for all of these folks, Preacher and Cindy. Brother Price has asked us to pray for 9:30. Saturday bus visitation is at 9:30. So one in is at 10:45. Then back in your place for Sunday school at 9:45. Church at 10:50. Monday, Brother Castile invited anyone that wants to take your kids over there, or again, if adults just want to go over there and spend some time. There's free carnival, free food, free games, free candy, and free sodas. He said, we're here to be a blessing to you. So on that night, if you want to have a place where you can go and you know the food and the candy is safe to eat, that is a place to go. And that is, starts at 6 o'clock, so anytime after 6. That is over at Faith Bible Church. That is over on Ashley Road. So again, if you need directions, look up Faith Bible Church or call Brother Castile and he'll give you the directions. But that is on Monday starting at 6. We have an upcoming event, the 17th of next month will be Brother Owens here on a Thursday night. We'll switch Wednesday and Thursday evenings, and then Friday and Saturday youth conference at Texas Baptist. And I'll probably meet Sunday night with all the adults that see if everyone that volunteered last time is still available for this next one, and start giving you some duties and some things to do. And Brother Bajot will start working with some of the teens again for games and skits, because some of the kids that was going to be in the skits last time are now in Bible college, so not around, so we'll have to sub some of their positions out. But pray for that. Pray that God will work on your heart here and my heart here, and then the youth meeting as well. Brother Price, do you have that picture up? This is not what a calf is supposed to have. Not the other one. There you go. Last Friday when I went outside, one of my calves had decided he would stick his head through the plastic chair. He got it stuck on his head, and he could not get it off. So I approached him and tried to see if he would let me get up close enough where I could grab it and try to pull it off of his head. And he just ran off and thought that was funny. So I was worried because I saw him later on trying to get it. It's hard to drink out of the cow tank with that on your head. It is also hard to eat out of the round bell feeder and get hay with that on your head. So I was worried because he's the most, I guess you could say, the most expensive calf that I'm going to sell in a few weeks. And so I was worried. I went to the meeting that night, Friday night at the revival, and I thought, at the missions conference, and I thought, I got to get that off his head. But he's 500 pounds, I'm 200 pounds, so it's not really a fair wrestling match. But when I came in the, and I thought, I can't go to sleep tonight worrying that he chokes or gets stuck or breaks his neck on that stupid chair. So I came in Friday night after the youth meeting, went to the house. He was standing by his mom and another cow. So I went to the house, put on my headlamp, put on some gloves because I didn't want to take a chance of losing a finger to the plastic chair. And I walked out there, and his mom was laying here, and he was in between mom and the other cow was laying here. So I went over and petted her and acted like I wasn't for him. He stood up and was watching me. Then I was trying to figure out if I was fast enough to beat the calf when he decided to break out. So as I moved, he moved over by the other cow. Since he couldn't go past her, he turned and ran by me. I grabbed the chair. Someone said, did it come right off? It did not. He pulled me a little ways, and I kept working on the chair, and he wiggled his head, finally got his head off. That was why that other picture showed the chair without the calf. And that's the way the chairs are supposed to be, but that was not. So I sent that to my granddaughters, and I said, look, my cows have necklaces, but not what they're supposed to have.
All right, can let's stand, saved by grace. Someday, let's try that again. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now they sing, but oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace. Someday to then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright. Then when my Savior opens the gate, my soul to him shall take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace.
Most of you know this. The other offerings goes toward the special meetings that we have coming up, and that's Brother Owens in just a short time.
Lord, we ask you to bless the church tonight, bless the preaching, the hearing, Lord. And Father, if there's one lost without Christ here tonight, pray they'd be saved. Bless this offering. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, all the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith to Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps shall falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Missing the piano, so we got the guitar.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O root.
Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We'll look at one verse there. The next couple Wednesday nights, I'm going to be back. I had skipped this. But then after thinking about it again and praying about it again, it felt like it was something that we probably should cover. So we'll be talking about this week and maybe the next, or maybe even two, character and finances. And again, if you read, you'll find that you'll get wisdom. Reading the Word of God will give you wisdom. Teach you how to deal with people, teach you how to take care of things in your life. If you read other books and stuff, if they're good books, especially if they're books like the stuff that was on the table when Brother Coral's here, if you read books, it will give you wisdom. It'll let you think about things that you wouldn't have thought about on your own. It'll make you smarter than you were. And again, all of us are limited if we just rely on our own intelligence. No matter how smart you are, you're still going to find that you're lacking in some areas. But if you read and listen and pay attention, that's one of why it's really good to come to church all the time. Because when Brother Nicholas is here, he's giving you Bible wisdom and also practical wisdom as well. But when you read, it is a big benefit to you. I've been dealing with someone that's having issues with relatives and friends, and I made them memorize Proverbs 15:1. Some of you memorize that like I have, because it makes this statement. It tells you that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And what it tells you is if you want to stop a fight, don't add. And by the way, the Bible is very practical also in Proverbs. It says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So if you quit throwing wood on the fire, the fire will go out. You keep throwing wood on the fire, it'll just keep blazing up. And I thought about it. So on the way in, I thought about something. It's probably a child should not use this, but I thought it just hit me because I have smart-like responses sometimes. And I thought, if a parent says to the child, you're an idiot, the child should respond, it's hereditary. I don't know why that came to my thought, but when I was driving in tonight, and I thought about pulling over, writing it down. I thought, I hope I remember it when I get to church. And so, but by the way, children, that probably would not be the best way to respond to that. But again, the Bible gives you lots of ways to deal with stuff and ways not to. Tonight we'll look at character and finances. Now, the first, if you miss half of it, get the first three. The first three were stuff I had never thought about. I'd never looked at it from this viewpoint. When I read it and looked at it, I thought, man, he is smart. Now, again, I understand people that write books usually get that from they read and study to be able to write those books. It's not usually just from them. It's a collection of stuff that they've learned from others. But I want to give you the first. I'm going to try to give you several tonight. But the first three, I want you to listen on purpose and pay attention and think about them. First, we'll start with the text. Luke chapter 16, notice verse 13. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what he's telling us is, be careful that you don't make money. Do not make the world. Do not make that your God. He says you can't have two masters because you're going to be partial to one and then not so get along so well with the other. But tonight we want to look at character and finances. Character and finances. Have I already prayed? My memory is so short, I can't remember if I already prayed. So then let's pray. I prayed back there. I always pray there before I come up here. Then I thought, was that my prayer back there, or did I actually pray here? So we'll pray now. And if I already prayed before, I need the practice, so don't worry about it. Father, we love you. I ask you, as I did a moment ago, for your wisdom. I ask you to use me tonight if you can. And I promise, as I always do, Lord, to give you the glory if something good comes out of it. I know that it will only be because of you. And I ask you, Lord, that you might impart some wisdom tonight, Lord, that would be a help to someone when it comes to finances tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first thing he said, and again, I never had thought about it this way, a person earns his money by spending his life. Think about it. When you got a paycheck, you know what you gave that boss? 40 hours of your life. You gave him 60 hours, however long it took you. And by the way, that's not usually counting driving time. Sometimes it's an hour there and an hour back. So when you add that in, if you worked a 40-hour work week, you probably gave your boss 50 hours of your life. What that means is time away from your family, time away from church, time away from the folks you love. And you gave that. So again, a person who earns his money by spending his life. Let me give you a couple things to think about underneath that. We give time in exchange for money. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now the Bible teaches that is a normal thing to do. Luke chapter 10. Notice verse 7. If you're wondering whether labor is something you should be doing, whether you should be working, the answer to that is yes. Luke chapter 10, verse 7 says, "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire." So again, he tells us there. And by the way, in 1 Timothy 5:17, he talks about the elders in the church, Brother Nichols and other pastors, and it says that they're worthy of double honor. So what it means is you work, you get paid. So if you're wondering, should I have a job? The answer to that is yes. But what he's implying is, since you're giving up your life, since you're giving up your time, try not to give any more time than you have to making that money to pay your bills. Because, again, your time is your life. We give time in exchange for money. A paycheck is the end result of a loss of time. Think about it. Your paycheck that you got, you get that because you gave up some time. By the way, be a great worker. Be a great boss. Every Christian should be an example on the job. If you're a worker, if you're the boss, you should be an example as the boss. But by the way, the boss and the other employees should always know that as soon as work is done, you're going home to spend time or life with your family or with God. Because those are more important than the work. The work you have to do, the work you need to pay your bills. You need that money to pay your bills. And for those of you that have finally reached that retirement age where you finally don't have to do that, well, you know what that really gives you? It gives you more time to spend with your family and more time to spend doing stuff for God, investing in good stuff. Now again, think about it. Again, a person earns his money by spending his life. Number two, the way a person spends his money is the way he is spending his life. The way he's spending his money is the way he's spending his life. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, some people use their life and their money in the wrong way. Notice what Matthew 6, verse 19 says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He says some stuff's not worth investing in because it has no value. But he goes on in verse 20, but he tells us what to do the correct thing. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So again, keep in mind, the way a person spends his money is the way he's spending his life. Waste your money, you know what you're doing? You're wasting your life. You be stingy with your money, you're being stingy with your life. Be foolish with your money, you'll be foolish. You're saying, you know what, my time's not important. My time's not valuable. So again, think about it. Wise with your money is wise with your life. Invest your money. You know what you're doing? Invest in your life. Now, when we talk about investing our money, what we want to invest our money in is two things more than anything else: family and the church or God. Now, the family will benefit you here. Investing in the church or the God will benefit you there. And listen to me, it is far wiser to store money up there. He mentions where the thieves can't. Now, again, up there, you say, well, I've got my money in the bank. Banks get robbed all the time. And by the way, if our government keeps spending money the way they are, one of these days, banks, I mean, your money's not going to have very, very little value anyway. You could work all your life. Someone mentioned this to me a while back because I was, my brother's invested, my son's invested, and they were talking to me about investing because I don't have a 401k or any kind of IRA or any of that stuff. And I had thought about trying to do some stuff to raise some money to do that. And then the other day, someone said, you know what? You're lucky you didn't do that yet. Because if you'd did all this stuff, maybe sold something and sold your land and then invested $100,000, right now it would be worth about $80,000 because they just lost 20% of everything they invested, to 25%. My brother lost 20 or 25% of his recently. My son lost 20 or 25% of his. So I thought, my money's still worth what it was before. I mean, it's still worth, my land's still worth what it was, but if I'd have put that in an IRA. So there's sometimes, I used to always joke, and I still can, although my son tried the stock market for me, you say, what happened? Well, that was when the first time with Mr. Biden, he invested $7,000, in a week it went down to $2,000, because he was going to take that $7,000 and invest it, and I was going to be able to retire someday. But it's hard to retire on $2,000, and so that's still not a dream of mine. But the truth is, I used to always joke, if the stock market goes up, here's how much money I made. If the stock market crashes tomorrow, here's how much money I lost. And by the way, that is actually kind of a good feeling sometimes, especially that loss part. But again, we want you to be wise when it comes to your money, because your money is, how you spend your money is how you're spending your life. Number three, stealing, and when I first read this, I thought, it's crazy, but stealing is somewhat akin to killing, or to killing someone. Exodus 20, verse 15 says, thou shalt not steal. By the way, it also says, thou shalt not kill. And by the way, if you're, sometimes men and women have problems when it comes to defending their home or defending their country. The Bible, when you look at that word where it says thou shalt not kill, it means thou shalt not murder. It's not talking about caring for your family. It's not talking about caring for your country. Because if you read your Bible any at all, you'll realize that in the Bible, you have the right. Fact is, God made a very big deal about defending country, defending God, and defending your family. So it means thou shalt not murder. But he said this, stealing is somewhat akin to killing. And here's why he said. He said, look at it from this viewpoint. A person gives his life or her life to make money. We made the money. We take that money and we buy an item. Okay, we say it's a car. We invested $20,000 in a car. It took us a long time to earn $20,000. We gave up a lot of our life, lots of hours of our life, to make the money to buy that car. The item is stolen. The thief takes, again, $20,000 worth of property away from me. In doing that, he has stolen life and time from me because I have to have a car. So you know what I'll have to do? I will have to work again. I'll have to put in more hours. I already put in lots of hours to earn that $20,000 in the first place. I have to put in a lot more hours of my life to get that money back to rebuy that item. Years ago, we got Liberty Christian Academy got broken into. Back when we used to have the buildings back here, some of you remember my office was back there. We came in one morning early, and there was stuff. I mean, we had, first thing I remember was seeing a typewriter laying off on the porch, right off the porch there broken, because someone had broke in and taken a bunch of the school stuff. Now, that typewriter, we had done a fundraiser, and we brought some Brothers typewriters. Now, people don't use typewriters nowadays. Everyone uses a computer, but back then, we used typewriters. Now, if you're old like me, you learned on the manual one. I mean, you had to push those keys hard. I mean, you want to get some muscles, get a manual typewriter. But we had the electric Brothers typewriters. I don't remember what they cost us. They weren't the big name brand, but we did a fundraiser and bought some typewriters. In running off the porch, they dropped one and broke it there. Now, again, it didn't mean anything to them because they didn't spend any money to buy it in the first place. But it meant something to us. Now we don't have, not only did we not have the one they broke, but they stole the other ones as well. So now we no longer have typewriters for typing class. Now, I used to think if someone stole my stuff, I couldn't shoot them. But after working hard, and many of you are like me, you've worked hard to get some stuff. If someone takes it, it just makes me really mad now because I think, you know what? They could have worked hard. They could have earned that, but they didn't. Instead, they're out working at stealing. Now, I wish you could still shoot them in the rear. I mean, because I wouldn't want to shoot someone to kill them necessarily if they steal my stuff, but I'd love to shoot them in the rear. But the problem nowadays is you'd probably get sued, and they not only would have the stuff they already stole from you, they probably would have everything else you have as well. Because we live in a crazy society where our judges and our judicial system doesn't use any common sense. But again, he said stealing is akin to killing, you're taking someone's life or part of someone's life. Number four, and we'll continue on. He said this, most financial problems are not money problems, but they're character problems. Now, I can tell you that if you do things correctly, you obey God, you obey yourself, and you obey the budget, you'll stay out of trouble. But here's the problem. We crave things. We want stuff. Our children or our wives or our husbands want stuff. And what happens is if we don't have the money, we have something in our billfold called a credit card. And we can buy it with money that we don't have. By the way, our government's very good at that. They do that, and they don't even have credit cards. They just, I don't know what they have to do. I think they just can just do it. They don't have to have anything. But the truth is, most financial problems that we have in our lives, now sometimes it's because of a medical issue. And if you've ever had to do something medically and you don't have insurance, I know the year that my wife did that one surgery, the stomach surgery, we thankfully, because she was on disability and we had the church insurance, we didn't have to pay a lot. It was a few hundred dollars, maybe a few thousand dollars. But when they sent me the thing at the end of the year, showed how much that insurance had been billed for, they billed for over a half a million dollars in all the expenses that year. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad I didn't have to pay for that because I don't have a half a million dollars. The truth is, it would take me years of doing nothing but putting it toward that to pay off a half a million dollars. So I can tell you the one thing you want to make sure you have is insurance. Insurance may be expensive, but it comes very handy if you ever have to have it. Now, I know that some of you are like me. I've spent 0 days in the hospital other than when I was 16 getting my tonsils out. I've made a lot of hospital visits. I spent a lot of time in the hospital with my wife, but I haven't had to go to the hospital very much. But the truth is, if you ever have to spend a day in the hospital, nowadays it's probably $12,000 to $20,000 per day. You say, what do they do? I remember one time when my wife was in the emergency room, she didn't even get a room. She was in a cot in the hallway, and they still billed us for $15,000 to $20,000 for that day at the emergency room that she spent in the cot in the hallway. Now, understand, medical stuff's expensive. I can't even, someone told me the other day what they spent on a new vehicle. You say, why don't you have a new vehicle? Because I do not have $60,000 to $120,000 to spend on a new truck. You say, is that how much they cost now? Yes, that's more than my house cost me, you know, 25 years ago when I bought my mobile home. And it has a lot more room and a lot more benefits than that truck. Although some of those trucks nowadays are really, really nice. I mean, you probably could live in it. I mean, they are fancy. But again, it takes a lot of money. So again, be careful that you don't let a character issue put you in financial problems. Number five, most important debt a person pays, the most important one you can pay, is your tithe. Now notice Malachi chapter 3. We read this all the time. We'll start in verse 7, read down through verse 11. We usually just read one verse. We're going to read the whole text here as far as what it's talking about here. But again, the most important debt that you can pay, and by the way, all of us probably have some debts. But the most important one and the first one you should always pay should be your tithe. Notice Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? He goes on in verse 8 and says, will a man rob God? He said, come back to me. You've messed up. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. They said, what were we doing wrong? He said, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. By the way, a great promise to tithers. Notice verse 11, now I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and ye shall not destroy he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What he said is, you tithe, I'll bless the things you do. I'll make the crops prosper. I'll keep the animals alive. I'll bring the rain down. I mean, I'll take care. I'll keep, what he said is that I'll restrain him. Who was he talking about? The devil. I'll restrain the enemy from doing stuff to you. I won't let him do stuff to you. I'll protect you. But again, that is only if you and I take care of that most important debt, which is, by the way, tithe. Every paycheck you and I get, 10% belongs to God. Now, I've often said this. I'd rather owe the mob, and I've never owed the mob. I wouldn't even know who the mob is. I wouldn't know how to get a check. I mean, get a loan from the mob. But I'd rather owe the mob than owe God, because I might be able to run or hide from the mob. I can't run or hide from God, because He knows everywhere I go. It's not like, whew, I'm finally safe. He can't see me. No matter where I go, God can still see me. I can't get away from God. And by the way, the mob at very best could take my life. God can, I mean, God, listen to me. God, if he punishes, and sometimes when God spanks hard. Sometimes he takes a person's life. Sometimes he causes other heartache. By the way, there's some heartache there's been people that would rather have died than face the heartache and the things that they went through because they ran from God and God punished them. Again, the most important debt that you have, that any person has, is tithe. Parents, teach your children to tithe. You give them an allowance, make sure they give 10 cents to God. Now, a lot of children will give the whole dollar. I mean, kids are not like us adults. We figure some. I mean, I know people that figure it down to the penny. I mean, if they make $91, they put in $9.10. I mean, they figure it down to the. I mean, they don't put in $10. They don't round it up. They put it in. I can tell you this: God will bless you if you just tithe. You say, "But the block cat can't afford to tithe." You are very incorrect tonight. There's no reason, listen to me, there's nothing more important, nothing more valuable than your relationship with the Father. He already said, I'll bless and prosper you in these other areas if you keep your commitment, you do what you're supposed to toward me. You can't afford not to tithe. You do not want God mad at you tonight. And you say, well, I can't pay my bills. You're going to have a harder time not paying your bills when you don't tithe. Teach your kids to tithe. Adults, make sure you tithe. Number six, everyone needs to learn proper priorities. Proper priorities. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, the Malachi that we read was the Old Testament. I'm well aware of that. But notice what 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 says, and this is New Testament, and here's what he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know what we're supposed to do on Sunday? We're supposed to tithe. We're supposed to bring our offerings to the church. Now, by the way, you invest here, you invest your life here, that's one of those investments that's going to pay, it's going to pay some premiums up there. Not only will God bless you here for your tithing, but God will bless you up there for your obedience and for you honoring him. So, by the way, again, when we talk about our proper priorities, priority number one, tithe. Priority number two, go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, notice verse 8. Priority number two is payment of debts. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another fulfilleth the law. Again, pay your debts. So priority number one, pay your tithe. Priority number two, pay your debts. Priority number three, notice 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than the infidel. So priority number three is take care of your necessities. There are some things your family needs. Now, I can tell you God is better to me. I have stuff I don't need. By the way, whether you know it or not, you have stuff you don't need either. If I ask tonight how many families here have two cars, almost all of us do. Now, you don't have to have two cars. Now, I realize it makes life much easier if there's two of you to have two cars, but there was lots of time back in history where folks had one car for the whole household, and they just had to figure out how to drop everybody off. They had to figure out, the routine, take dad here, do this, mom here, the kids here, and they had to figure, it was a scheduling issue. Most of us have, we have many kids, I'm not going to ask that, but we have a lot of kids nowadays that have a room to themselves. I can tell you back years ago, kids didn't have room to themselves. They didn't. Some people, I know Brother Nichols mentioned he wasn't wild about Bible college because he had a roommate. I've always had, until recently, the last year and a half, I haven't had a roommate. Other than that, for the first 60 years of my life, I had a roommate. It was my brother until I went to Bible college. It was doofus college students when I was in Bible college. And then after I got married, it was my wife, which, by the way, is a lot better roommate than any of the other ones I had. But the truth is, we don't have to have, that many people. We don't have to have that many rooms. We don't have to have that big of a house. That is nice. God usually gives us far more. I guarantee you, most of you did not buy groceries and all of them were gone. You bought them on Monday and they were all gone by payday and you had to go buy again. Most of us have extra stuff in the cupboard or in the fridge. Usually even some stuff that we have to throw out because it gets out of date or we didn't use it and we have to throw it out. Now again, understand, we have tithes first, payments of debt second, necessities third, and then, by the way, if you have any money left, that's when the luxuries come in. Now, a lot of the things that people consider a necessity is really a luxury. It's just something we want really bad. For instance, now, someone asked me one time, Brother Block, would you like to have a boat? It'd be nice. You say, would you use it? I don't know. I used the one I had the other day. Brother Moss gave me. It got me in trouble. So I don't know. Maybe not having a boat would have been a good thing. But the truth is, there are a lot of things that people consider necessities that are not. Don't have to. There's a lot of stuff we don't have to have. We just want it really bad. But again, first tithe, second payment of debts, third necessities. Then if there's anything left, that's when you get some luxuries. Now be careful. Stuff charged on the credit card, that becomes debt. So what you did, you took something that might have been a luxury and you moved it up to the debt area. Because by the way, now you have to pay that or you have a bad testimony. Now you have to pay that or you end up with late fees and other stuff. Number seven, pay bills on time or early. We read Romans chapter 13, verse 8, which said, owe no man anything. I've said this. There are people that don't believe a Christian should take out loans on stuff. And I can tell you, if you don't have to pay interest, that is much better. But most of us did not have the money to buy our first house. We got a loan, probably a 30-year loan. Now, I didn't have any of the houses. The one I bought, a mobile home in California, and then sold it. So, but the first one that I was in for quite a while was one here in San Antonio. We paid $50,000 for the home out in Heritage Park, $50,000. And then when I looked at the paperwork, you know how much I was going to pay at the end of 30 years? $152,000. I was going to pay $102,000 for the $50,000 I borrowed. The bank got $2 for every $1 I paid them back. Now, someone told me, and I did it at that time, I cut years off my payments in the summertime when we was mowing and we was working and had extra money. We would put just $30 or $50 extra. And sometimes, by the way, that was like making a whole nother payment. Because at that time, we was on the front part of that loan. Sometimes the, between the interest and the taxes and I don't remember all the stuff that they put on there. Sometimes my premium was only like $17 or $20 or $30. So sometimes when I paid the extra $30 or $50, it was as much as I put with that whole $400 or $500. And back then, you could have a place for $400, $500 or $600. Nowadays, you say, what can you get for $400, $500, $600? Probably a cardboard box and one of those grocery carts. I mean, that's probably about all you can get today for $400 or $500 a month. But back then, you could get, things were a lot cheaper back then, and money went a little farther. But when I looked at how much interest I was going to pay, I thought, wow, I'm going to pay them back $152,000 for the $50,000 they loaned me. I'm in the wrong business. I shouldn't be in the borrowing business. I should be in the loaning business. But again, you got to be careful. But here's what I often say to people. Because people say, well, I don't think you should. They use this verse to say, I don't think you should get loans. And here's what, again, most of us that believe it's okay if you use it correctly. I said, call my company, call Vanderbilt, and ask them how much I owe them. I said, if my bill's paid on time, and we tried very hard, almost always paid it on time. If my bill's paid on time, and if I called them up and I said, yes, I was just calling to see how much I owe you right now, they wouldn't say, yeah, it was $40,000 and 15 cents. They'd say, you don't owe anything, sir. You're current. You're up to date. So, by the way, if I paid my payments faithfully and on time, they didn't consider me in debt. I was up to date on my bill. Again, pay your bills on time. If you can, pay them early. By the way, some of you that have just got credit cards, and it's a great thing when you first get your first credit card, you're so excited until you realize the problems later, after you've had it for a few years, and you realize I've maxed it out. And they're having you pay, you owe, say there's $2,000 on the credit card. You're paying $35 a month. And you're paying that $35, and you're so proud of yourself. If you look over, now they actually put it over there on the side. It'll show you keep paying $35, 3,014 years later, you will pay off that $2,000. That's not quite that bad, but it is really bad. It'll be like 17 years later. By the way, that's if you never charged another penny on that credit card, if you kept paying that $35. By the way, if you pay it late, they'll tack on an extra $35. So when you make that $35 payment, you didn't actually gain anything. So again, be careful. Pay your debt. Pay your bills on time or early if you can. I can tell you, now that the house is paid off, now that the land is paid off, and now that both of my vehicles, see, but Blocky, you have old vehicles. I do, but guess what? They're all paid off. It is so nice to be, and I pay my credit cards off. I charge them for stuff so I can get my, I remember one day with Brother Perry, one of his customers said, I need to put on my credit card because I want my miles. And I thought, miles? Then I found out you can get miles so you can travel for free once every 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, so now I'll pay stuff for the credit card. Then I pay the credit card off every month. You don't want to have debt on that credit card because, again, I haven't paid interest on those credit cards for quite a while. And that feels good. You know what? They're letting me use their money for free. Now, they don't intend to do that, okay? They don't want you to pay it off. But if you pay it off and you pay it on time, you don't have to pay any interest. Now, again, it's nice to be debt-free. By the way, every young person in here, every young married couple, don't expect to have what mom and dad have. We've worked for 30 or 40 years to get what we have. Don't think you're supposed to have that when you first get married. That's not how it works. By the way, if you ask us where we started, we didn't start in the house we're in now. That's why they have houses they call starter houses. Now, some people stay in that starter house a long time because sometimes it's hard to get out of that starter house. But again, pay your bills on time. If possible, pay them early. Number 8, in emergencies when a bill must be paid late, if you can, contact the creditor. Now, today, years ago that was much easier because many times you can make a phone call to the person. Or to the bank, and you'd actually talk to a person. Today, that probably isn't going to happen. But again, it is always nice for you to let them know that you're going to pay it late. Liberty Christian Academy always had people behind on their school bills, always. Years ago, we had someone that owed us thousands of dollars. And we don't like kicking people out, and their kids are in school. But we had other people making bigger sacrifices than they were. So we went to them. I went to them, and I said, how much can you pay me every week? You know what we settled on? $10. Now, that would never, they'd been paying their school bill off even today, and their kids would have graduated 20 years ago. $10 is what we settled on. You know what happened the first week? They paid the $10. You know what happened the second week? Didn't hear from them, and we didn't get the 10 bucks. And the next week, we didn't get the 10 bucks. I finally had to kick them out. They wouldn't even keep, and by the way, they didn't even call me and say, I can't pay the $10 today. So again, it was a very rare thing to ever kick anyone out of Liberty Christian Academy because of finances. We still have people today that, I mean, if they ever want to do the right thing, they're going to have to pay, they can pay Liberty Christian Academy. And then we're going to let all the staff go on a cruise because we'd have a lot of money in there if some of the folks went back and paid their debt that they owed. But again, pay your debt. Try not to, I mean, if the car breaks down or someone's sick and you end up having, you're a little short, talk to people. I mean, notify them. Let them know, I can't pay it today, but I'll pay it. Especially if you have rent, because many times you know that you can talk to someone who is over the rent or over your house. Go talk to them. Sit down and say, sorry about it. My car broke down. If I can't get to work, I can't make money to pay this. I had to put a new engine in, but I'll have the money for you next week. Or I can pay you $100 a day, and I'll pay it. Listen to me. If you do that and you keep your word, they hardly ever will fuss at you. I remember years ago, a young man that's dead today told me, he said, I owe a bunch of, I think it was taxes or something. But I don't have the money. I said, you can't keep putting that stuff off. It's not like they're going to just forget it. Say one day, oh, don't worry about it, brother. I mean, that's not how it works. But I said, if you just pay them $10 a week or $10 a month, most of those, by the way, that is even true of your hospital. Some of you may not know that. If you have a hospital bill or a medical bill, if you at least make a payment, they can't turn you over to the collection agency. They can't. Now you have to set up a payment. That's why they'll say either pay your bill or make financial arrangements. Go in and say, I can pay you $20 a week, and you pay that $20 a week. It may take you 10 years to pay it off. We had when Jacob was born, we had Jacob on payments. We were paying payments before, we were paying payments for 9 months while she was pregnant because the church out there didn't have the insurance on us. We paid payments on Jacob while she was pregnant, and we paid for Jacob even after he was born. And I told my wife, I said, don't worry about it, baby. If we get a little late, I don't think they're going to come and repossess Jacob. I don't think they're going to take him back. Now, they'll take your car back. They'll take your house back, but they don't usually want your child back. But the truth is, we paid payments on Jacob. Again, in case of emergencies, if you get behind, talk to the creditor. By the way, don't make paying late a habit. You say, if I'm always behind, what should I do? Either downsize, get rid of a vehicle, get a cheaper vehicle, get a smaller house, a cheaper house, get another job, sell some stuff that you have. But again, you cannot keep living that way. By the way, that puts a pressure on you, puts a pressure on your marriage. No one's happy having financial problems. It's just not a happy place to be. Number 9, looks like God teaches a percentage system for handling your money. You know what the tithe is? 10%. So guess what you have to live on? 90%. That's always a blessing when you can give more than 10%. And you find the more you give, the more God gives back to you. So if you give God 15%, you'll find that you'll end up with more than your 90% left. I mean, or 85% left. God will give back to you. But again, when you think about that, you have 10% to God for tithe. You have 90% for your debt, for your necessities, for your luxuries. That's what the 90% is. Now, don't ever count God's money in your money. Act like it doesn't belong. I mean, if you get $400, the first $40 is God's, so you have $360 to pay your bills. That's what you have. Don't figure the $400 in. That $400 don't belong to you. $360 belongs to you. $40 is God's. And by the way, you say, well, why does it belong to God? Because you're his child. He gave you life. He gives you breath. He gives you strength. He gives you a body. He blesses you and gives you the ability to make money. You couldn't even make that $400 if it wasn't for God. Number 10. Brother Price, if you have it, you can put this up now. A budget is the best way to control your money flow. A budget is the best way to control your money flow. Now, what they have is, he put this, and again, you can make any kind of budget, but what he had is, at first, a workable budget. You had tithe at 10%. You had food. Okay, maybe we don't have it. That food, he had food at 15%, housing at 25%, utilities at 10%. There you go. Insurance and savings at 5%, automobile at 15%. And by the way, then you had 20% for miscellaneous, which was your wife, your missions, your others, taxes, and things like that. Now listen to me. If you had 25% for your house and it cost you 30%, you still only had 100% to start with. So what that means, if you spend 5% more on the house, you got to find 5% somewhere else to make up the difference. You don't just automatically have 105%, and so that 30% is there. I always tell people there's only a few things you can cut in your budget. You can cut the food. You can cut your gas. You can turn the thermostat down. You can cut your utilities. You can't cut your car payment. It's the same. The vehicle payment's the same every month. You can't cut your house payment. It's the same every month. Your taxes, your insurance, those things are all, they're all set. There are only a few things that you have any control over. And by the way, those are things that we really wish we could, you know, have the money to spend on those things. It's nice to buy a bunch of food. I can tell you there's sometimes we didn't always get what we wanted. We got what we could afford. Now, I can buy anything I want at HEB now. Truth is, I mean, since Mrs. Block died and I don't have all the extra bills and I've got bills paid off, I've got a little extra money. So now every week when I go grocery buying, I love cashews. I get me one of those great big 1996. That's how much it costs, almost $20 for a bag of cashews. So every night I sit down and I eat cashews. When I'm sitting around watching TV or snacking, I'm eating cashews. That bag doesn't always last a week. When it doesn't, then I hope I can find another day to get by HEB. But I didn't used to. I mean, I got cashews once in a great while. When I did, I bought the little can that said bits and pieces. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And it was exactly that, bits and pieces. And some of the pieces were bits and some of the bits were dust. But, I mean, that was the one I used to get. Now, I can get the bag. I can get the whole cashews. I can get the ones that are all still stuck together. I mean, I'm not talking about the pieces. I can get the real stuff. May not be something you can afford. When the kids, I always tell people, when you're at home and you got the kids and you got all those bills, you know what you're doing during that time? You're dog paddling. You're just trying to keep your head above water. You're just trying to stay alive. When you get a little older and you get some bills paid off, then you can finally spend a little bit of money on some stuff that you couldn't spend it on before. Maybe that facelift. No, I'm just joking. But the truth is, you got to live by that budget. You got to make sure that you pay your bills. You can't live without. You need a house. You need a car. You got to have some food to eat. I mean, you got to pay your insurance. By the way, there's no Christian here that should be driving without insurance. You ought to have insurance. You ought to figure out some way to get some health insurance. It may not be the best. You may have a really high deductible, but I can tell you, it's better to have that than have no insurance at all. Because even if we have a $5,000 deductible, which is what we have, if the bill is $100,000, most I'm going to pay is the $5,000. $5,000 is a lot of money, but $50,000 or $100,000 is a lot more. You don't have to be really good at math to figure that out. $5,000 or $100,000, a big difference. Now, we want to make sure again that the budget is the best way to control your money flow. If you don't know how to set up a budget, get with someone that does. There are people around here that live by a budget. At one time, we did, and there would be times my wife or someone would ask about something, I'd say, we don't have the money. Back then, I balanced my checkbook to the penny. I mean, I remember one time someone asked me, how much money you have in the bank? At that time, I had $8 in the bank. That was it, $8. I didn't have a penny more. I didn't have a penny less. I had $8. I knew exactly how much I had. Now, you said, Brother Block, how much you got in the bank now? I don't know. Don't care. Don't check. I mean, every week when I go to deposit my check, I say, can you give me a printout? I look at it and make sure that's the stuff I spent. And, I mean, I don't have to worry about it like I did back then. But back then, I had to worry about, I mean, every penny. Now, understand, be careful about your money. You don't want to let money become something that becomes a marital problem. You don't want to be something that then you start considering whether you can cheat God or not. By the way, that's a very dumb thing to start thinking about. Amen. Tough to think you have to sell the house or you're going to get your house taken away or your car taken away. And by the way, again, we mentioned earlier, it's usually not a money problem as much as it's a character problem. Be careful that you live within your means. I'll mention it tonight, and I'll mention it again when I get to the next part. Brother Nicholas has often said, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. What he's often said is you cannot spend more than you make. Can't. Now, you say, I know the government does. I know other people do. Not wise for you and I to do. Because, again, we answer to God, and we want to be a good testimony. And I can tell you, not keeping your bills paid and not being able to take care of your family, not a good testimony. What did he say earlier? If a man don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel, worse than a lost guy, worse than some reprobate out there. So if you're wondering what God thinks about you, if you don't take care of your family, men, he thinks you're an infidel. You're worse than an infidel. You're pretty low down. Again, finances can be a big drag on the family. We do have to work, but remember, you're giving up your life. That is your time. You're giving up life for that. Spend as little time making money as you have to. You have to be able to pay the bills and do that. But by the way, then get home, take some time with your family and your church and your God. Better investment of your time and of your life. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we finish the service. I didn't talk to the lost tonight, but Lord, if there is